A Prairie Home Companion is made possible by Pillsbury Grand's Cinnamon Rolls, offering your family the fresh baked aroma and taste of Cinnabon Cinnamon. You can find them in your grocer's refrigerated section. Pillsbury Grand's Cinnamon Rolls, making Sundays special.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out on the edge of the prairie. Out there, it's been cold. It's been very cold. A high of 6 degrees here the other day, and the wind has been blowing. So the wind chill, if you happen to believe in that sort of thing, would make you feel that it was just hazardous to even set foot outside. But we just dress warmly, and we go anyway, because there are things that must be done, and there's no getting around that. We're not stupid, no matter what you may have heard to the contrary. And the beauty of cold weather is that it does allow you to cancel things that you did not want to do. In the first place, it gives you an excuse. Things such as bingo, for example, down at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility on Thursday night, where I'm sure if you forced the truth out of people, you would find that two-thirds of the people with the bingo cards are there only because they are married to somebody who wants to play bingo, or rather, somebody who, if you ask them, do you want to play bingo, would say, sure, if you do, I'll go along. In other words, people who just go along by deference, which is a principle out in the Midwest. And so all these decisions are made in this world just by nobody raising an objection. For fear that you may open up a whole can of worms and find all these other things that you're doing by rote that you don't really want to do, like having ham for New Year's. Who got that going? Getting this enormous hunk of pig meat out for one meal, and you wind up eating it in sandwiches and soups for months afterward. Nobody cares for this, but nobody dared to speak up against it, you see. So, and how many people just going along through inertia, just sheer inertia? How many people in San Francisco would really prefer to live out on the American prairie, out experiencing the excitement of winter and the challenge of living in a cold place amongst ice and snow? But here they are. They're in San Francisco, and you're not supposed to leave this place. This place is supposed to be a destination and a paradise, and they have learned the street system, and they have homes, and they know how to get from place to place, and they have season tickets at the opera, and so they don't move out to the Midwest, though it's what they really want deep down in their hearts. See, this is the beauty of cold weather. It enables you to cancel out, and you just say, no bingo tonight. And 100 men are filled with delight. People cancel out, don't go to church. The members of the Lutheran church choir, who are feeling a little uncertain anyway, don't go on Sunday morning. And so the Mozart Alleluia sounds much better than you thought it was going to. That's the beauty of it. But we don't cancel school. There's rumors of school canceling, but we don't cancel school, because if you canceled school in Minnesota, if you started doing it, where would you stop? So the Hedlunds flew out to San Francisco the day after Christmas, Marilyn and Roger Hedlund, who he has suddenly started growing a mustache, a little thin mustache, unusual for a corn and soybean farmer. And he has started using the initial M and actually painted it on his mailbox back in early December. People don't ask about this. They just wonder what is going on with these two. They came out to San Francisco to go up to a resort in Napa Valley called Last Rose of Summer, which is a place where Midwestern couples go when their kids are grown up and moved out of the house and they need to find out what it was they had in mind in the first place. And see if there is any romance left after all these years of being a prison guard. And so they go up to this resort. It's a beautiful place. It's an old Victorian house. It's surrounded by vineyards, and there's a big hot tub out in back. And the food is terrific, and the wine is good, and the waiters are all psychologists. And so there's There's counseling for you everywhere you look. There's always somebody who's going to recommend a better way and who's listening to your conversation at the table. It was her idea. Of course it was. Marilyn's idea. Roger's a corn and soybean farmer. He does well enough. Prices were good this last year. He'd probably go on for a few more years and then sell the land. He's in his mid-60s. She just turned 60, and she is taking off. When they gave up livestock, she had all this extra time on her hands, and she became an event planner. And she started planning events for people, which was the real demand for this. These things had always been done before by volunteers on a committee system, which meant that everybody was on a committee over and over again. Once you got stuck on a committee, you were on committees for years to come, and you wound up having to do the work and planning the mother-daughter banquet and the awards dinner and the conference on meeting the health needs of the rural poor or whatever it was. And so she's come in as somebody who will do all of this for a small fee, and people are happy. They want her. She's competent. She's good. After you've served on committees for 20 or 30 years, you are ready either to hire somebody to do it for you or to commit multiple homicides. And so she has saved a lot of lives. She'll just come in and do your event for you if you're stretched for time, and you won't have to deal with people who are unable to come to a decision in a meeting. Well, she's been wanting to expand now. She's finally hitting her stride at the age of 60. She looks different from other women you'd see in the Chatterbox Cafe. She's leaner, and she does her hair in a different way. She's tying it up now. It doesn't hang down. People she went to high school with resent her just a little bit. They whisper about her behind her back. She looks good enough now that people are gossiping about her possible involvement in an extramarital affair, which is a compliment for a woman from Lake Wobegon, a good Lutheran woman. It was her idea. It all went back to a lunch they had in October, and she had a glass of wine, and she said to Roger over lunch, he was astonished at the wine. It was, after all, a Wednesday. She said, "Do you think we should stay married?" And she pulled out a book she had ordered called Finding a Fulfilling Second Marriage. I mean, she said, it's a choice, you know? And if we don't meet each other's needs, then why should we stay married if we don't want to? Well, to him, it was like a bomb going off. But being Lutheran, he didn't say anything. He said, "Well, it all depends on how you look at it." But he looked at the book, and the thesis of the book was very, very simple. It just said, you know, nature floods our bodies with hormones back when, you know, the nature needs us to rip each other's clothes off and to produce these kids. And once you've produced them and you've done your job and the hormones tend to taper off a little bit, then what are you waiting for? What do you need at that point? You're not looking for some miraculous postmenopausal pregnancy, are you? No, they are. She's looking for her career to take off now that she's finally found something that she's really, really good at, organizing things and bending people to her will. She's 60. She's thinking of expanding, and that means moving to the city. And she hasn't even dared bring that up to Roger. Well, they flew out to San Francisco, and they went up to Napa Valley, up to the Last Rose of Summer spa and resort, and they started doing this program that they offer you up at the Last Rose of Summer. It's a very simple program, small steps. You know, you lie in bed together. When you wake up, you lie in an embrace for 15 minutes. And then you get up and you have breakfast together. You have a lunch together, and it's a silent lunch with quiet music playing. You walk 45 minutes a day, half of which should be holding hands. You give up sarcasm. You don't offer an opinion unless it's asked for. And at night, you reunite and you lie with your arms around each other for half an hour, talking quietly. And whatever arguments you've had during the day, you resolve before you go to sleep. A simple program. They couldn't afford to stay. It's an expensive place. And so they were only going to stay there for 4 days, and then they were going to spend 4 days with her cousin Frances, who lives in a house up the coast in a little gated community called Libertyville, which you haven't heard of because it's gated, and it's a little private place for people with no children. There are no children, there are no schools, there are no noise. It's just people living in enormous houses in a compound by the sea. Frances made a lot of money through a resort development in Honduras. Complicated thing. He was not a builder, he's a banker. But anyway, he made a pile of money back during the boom, and he bought this place. He's 60 years old. He's been married 4 times, and now he's living by himself, just himself and a big Labrador dog in this enormous place looking out on the sea. He walks around in a blue jogging suit with gold chains around his neck. Francis has left Lake Wobegon completely. If there was ever anything of Lake Wobegon in him, he's left completely, except for one thing. In imitation of his old Norwegian bachelor farmer ancestors, he's never trimmed his ear hair, and it forms little horns coming up out of his head. It's sort of a guarantee that he'll remain single now that he is. Somewhere, Francis discovered proof that Barack Obama, the President of the United States, is actually Swedish, and he is not a citizen of the United States. He never was a citizen, never planned to become a citizen. He was born in Utabar, and he takes powerful pharmaceuticals to make his hair look like that. He is Swedish, and so our country has been taken over by an alien who does not share our values. And within the next 6 months or a year, our country will be irretrievably launched into a different direction than any of us would wish. And Francis has devoted himself to exposing this truth, which most people don't want to hear. He spends his days blogging and calling into call-in shows all over the country. He's got the proof right there. It's about 45 photocopied pages of you just connect the dots. You just connect the dots, and it's there if you can believe what's right there in front of your eyes. Barack Obama went to Oslo to get the Nobel Peace Prize, and he carried on a conversation in perfect Swedish. And there is an audio. You can find it on the internet, and it's right there. You can write there. Well, they didn't especially like being around his house, Roger and Marilyn. He just has this voice like a chainsaw walking around, yammering. And the dog was a nuisance, too. The dog would just come after you wherever you were, and the dog would leap up on you and demand food and take whatever food you had in your hands. The dog had never been trained whatsoever, so Roger trained him. He'd been giving the dog chunks of sirloin when the dog jumped up, and then one morning he tossed him 2 raw oysters. The oysters hit the back of the dog's throat, and the dog was trying to throw them up even as its swallow reflex was taking them down. The dog had never had raw oysters and did not care to have any in the future. And when last seen, the dog was lying on its side with its paw down its throat, trying to force itself to retch. But Francis was another problem, and so Roger and Marilyn were mighty grateful when they came down with terrible colds, and it gave them an excuse to leave and to go home a couple days early. They thanked Francis for his hospitality. And Marilyn said, "You know, he's not Swedish, actually. He's born in Hawaii, and he grew up in Hawaii, and Chicago is really where he's from. He's not Swedish." "Well," Francis said, "that's what you say. I say he's Swedish. And if he's not, why doesn't he deny it?" 13% of the American people believe that the president is Swedish. And this says something. This says something, that people are willing to consider this possibility. So they left Francis on that basis, and they were glad to get aboard a plane in San Francisco and head east across the mountains and come to the great plains where snow lay heavy and thick, where people like Francis, who might have crazy ideas, are distracted by the necessity of shoveling and clearing your driveway, and they postpone their craziness until some other time. And where people are still trying to improve their marriages by doing small things, taking a walk together, eating a silent lunch, and going to bed at night and lying with your arms around each other for 15 minutes. This is what Lutherans believe in. We don't believe in miracles. We don't approve of them. We don't believe in big transformations. No matter what Scripture says, we don't believe in it. We believe that everyone has a dark side. And if you will turn away from that and look at what's good within you and focus on that and do your best, it'll turn out okay. We believe in this. It's not what Jesus said. This is our own religion. Jesus advocated big, big, dramatic things. Give all that you have to the poor and follow me. We don't go for that. But Jesus wasn't married with children. He didn't do that, see. He wasn't a homeowner. He was the Son of God. Whole different thing. Whole different thing. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.